Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Talking Blues podcast with Josh and Peter. And it seems like it's going to continue that way for at least the next week or so. I don't know what's going on. I called Alex just before this episode to make sure he wasn't going to come on. And his voice sounded like he was literally a robot. I felt like I was talking to an AI-generated version of my friend Alex. Peter, I think, overheard him too when he joined the Zoom call. So, yeah, Alex is still out and down for the count. But, you know, he'll be editing this in, and I'm sure he'll want to chime in as best as he can, but he can't because he's only editing, unless he wants to cut himself in with a little, like, voiceover or something, but then he would just be embarrassing himself with his robot-sounding voice. But we're here to recap, nonetheless, two episodes in 1 week here, this time talking about a Man United victory. I said on our last episode when we recapped the Brighton match, Peter, that this game was most likely going to be a loss. But Chelsea did hang in there. It was definitely a Man United dominating game on the offensive side of the ball for them, and we're going to get into all of that. But again, just the results of the match as we're recording right after it ended. 2-1 Man U. Peter, how you doing? And your initial reactions are what to this game?
Well, I was doing better before I actually spent, you know, solid like 2 hours of my afternoon dedicated to watching this game, is what I'll say. I would say that's one of the worst performances we've had in a long time, and that's saying something with the recent form we've been in this season and last season. But it was just awful. Like you said, it was a Man U dominated game. I mean, we had like three chances. Cole Palmer's, there we go, said it right that time, goal. It's basically one of all those three, and even that was kind of a fluky goal, all things considered. But it just was not a fun watch. It's just, there's many, many other things I would have preferred to be doing in my afternoon than watching this game. You said that it was likely going to be a loss, but I mean, the Man U, we've been in better form than Manchester United has been as of late. So I thought going in there was a chance, but I mean, the first 5 minutes were absolutely horrible. They just dominated everything. And I mean, that basically kept up the entire game. We never really got into a flow of things. We were so chaotic. We couldn't bail out from the back. There's so much stuff I could say, and there's really like zero positives, honestly. It's just a bad, bad, bad performance this afternoon.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that even though for what it seemed like Chelsea possessed most of the ball today, there was no chances kind of on top of that possession. You know, you would think, oh, like Chelsea possessed the ball for whatever it was. I'll get to the match stats when I get to the match stats. I think it was definitely over 50%, obviously, because they led that category in the stats. And yet you would be like, oh, so if they control possession, didn't that mean they got shots on goal? No, it was the complete opposite of that. They did not do that. And it was really all Manchester United from start to finish. And, you know, that goal coming late in the second half to make it 2-1 in the 69th minute, and both goals scored by McTominay. What are you going to do? I don't know. I mean, you could even start earlier in the game, right? With, who was it? Fernandez had that penalty, like, really early in the game?
Yeah, very, then, very, very early.
And then missed it. So we're like, ooh, mm-hmm. Okay, like,
Maybe get some momentum here or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's not Manchester United's day, but obviously it wasn't Chelsea's day either. So, yeah,
I would just say that penalty kind of encapsulated the entire day, where we try to build out from the back, give it away, and then Man United just counters. The reason they didn't have any possession is that they didn't need to have any possession when all we do is give the ball away. Inside our defensive third. Like, that happened. Like, Sanchez, I kind of called it last episode, I'll say, when I was talking about his performance, where he's been a great shot stopper, but his distribution and building up from the back has been horrible. And I mean, that was on display countless times today. There's so many times where he would just get a ball played back to him, and he just immediately kick it straight to a Man U player. Like, on the penalty, that's how they got started on there. Obviously, make a few passes, dribble in, give away a cheap penalty. Enzo needs to do better there. But if we want to be a team that can actually compete, we can't have a goalkeeper who doesn't understand how to make a simple pass. Because it's not even the fact that he is trying to do too much based on his abilities, but it's even like the simple passes or simple clearance that he can't do at this point. And I think going in, Pochettino wanted us to try to build from the back. And I mean, that was I don't think there's a word that can describe how little building was done there. It was horrible. It was an awful, awful watch. I can't say that enough, that this was just a horrible game, horrible performance. It was not fun. And I think a lot of that stems from Robert Sanchez's distribution. That being said, he did very well saving many shots. You know, Manchester United, like you said, dominant performance, had a lot of shots on target. But I don't think you can really give him praise for those saves when most of them all come from his own errors anyway.
Yeah, I'm just going to transition from that because, like, I don't really need to talk about Robert Sanchez. Especially after the annoying part of we volunteered to talk about how highly we rated his performance against Brighton, and then he comes out and he does this today, and it's just like, not a good way to kind of like bounce back from a win, or I guess not a good way to try and bounce off of a win and continue on a hot foot or hot hand, whatever you want to call it. Just unable to do so. I will go to the offense though, and I do want to talk about, so before Cole Palmer's goal, there was that counterattack where you were saying, Peter, Chelsea repeatedly were exposed in the backfield. So then they actually were able to counter one time in that first, not one time, they were, you know, they countered a few times, but one time that stood out to me was between Raheem Sterling and Nico Jackson in like the early 30-something minute. And then just like with lackadaisical passing between the two of them, I think it was from Sterling to Jackson, and then it was a bad first touch by Jackson. They just weren't able to get a goal through, even though it should have been probably level at that point. Luckily, and we can talk about this now, Cole Palmer dribbles through defenders, uses that left foot, sneaks it into the bottom right corner of the net, if I'm not mistaken, to make it 1-1 heading into halftime. This game could have been 2-1 if Chelsea were able to, you know, actually display some decency on offense after that counterattack. And if Jackson was able to finish off a good first touch, the game would have been 2-1 heading into half if Cole Palmer still scored that goal. Luckily, again, though, they still didn't make it level into halftime. But nothing stops McTominay, especially when you're having players like Garnaccio sending beautiful balls to the perfect spot to connect with Scott McTominay, you know, his head in the right corner. So, I mean, that's what I have to say there. I know I kind of went all over the place, but...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if the penalty encapsulated what it was going to be like defensively, I think that missed counter. It was a 2-1-0. It was literally just Sterling and Jackson and the keeper. Sterling would have made a better ball, definitely. Just Jackson. Jackson just needs to do better there. You take your first touch immediately, and you're already way too close to Onana. He's obviously going to save it. And, I mean, he's had that so many times where, I mean, if you think about it, he hasn't really scored a good goal against a good team. It's been, he scored a hat-trick against 9-men Spurs, but I'm not sure how much you can really count that. We just need to do better at finishing our chances because, I mean, like you said, obviously we did not deserve to be up 2-1 after that performance at halftime. Yeah. If we were able to finish our chances, we could have been. Like, sometimes all you can have a bad game. Like, United is a perfect example. So many times they have a horrible, horrible game, but then someone like McTominay comes around and finishes the one chance they have, and they can steal a point, or they can steal a win somehow. And we don't have that. We don't have someone, I mean, I guess Palmer maybe, but we don't have that person that we can say, okay, we're playing horribly right now. Can we get a goal and turn this around? Palmer did it there, but I don't think there was one time in the second half where we looked remotely dangerous at all. And it's, like I said, I'll keep saying it. It was just not a fun watch. I did not enjoy that game at all. It was very, very, very painful.
And I do, let me circle back one last time, and then I'm going to get to the match stats. McTominay's goal, that's what you want to see out of a team like Chelsea. That's just kind of like normal how you want to play an offensive attacking football system. We get the ball in the corner, left corner, I think it was left corner of the box. And then Garnaccio was just able to swing across over. Three Manchester United players all rushing towards the ball to get that header in. You've got to think at least one of them makes that header. Luckily, McTominay does for Man U. But not even that. Maybe all three of them get there and it just sends Chelsea into a cluster where it's a defensive player that tips in, or it's off of Sanchez and then it goes in. But that's what you want to do. You want to swing the ball consistently into the middle of the box where the goalie is, where all the Chelsea defensive players are. And that was just a perfect system and a perfect play by Man U to get that goal. And something we want to see Chelsea do more of, especially in this game, when they're just barely even getting shots on target. That's like kind of, Peter, as you know, as you've played soccer in high school, that's like, even though it can be sort of like a last resort type of thing where, shit, we're not getting, excuse my language, we're not getting shots on goal right now at a normal tempo of just being able to kind of navigate in towards the box or maybe just outside the box and getting some flick-ons or getting some shots on net. So what are we going to do? We're going to flick it from the side, whether it's the left corner or the right corner, and just see if we can get ahead on that. I mean, I think that's what you have to do in this situation if you're Chelsea, and they just did not, were unable to do that. And it led to only 13 shots compared to 28, almost 30 shots in this game by Man U. I know only 9 of them were on target, but 30 shots is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there were a few times where we tried to cross it in, but we didn't have the same fight to try to win that ball that Man United did. Because like you said, there were 3 Man U players there, 0 Chelsea players. The only Chelsea player that could have done something was Levi Colwill, who went over as soon as McTominay touched him and tried to win a free kick. Didn't work. McTominay heads it in. We had one, it was a one back-to-back where we kind of routed to Reece James and he whipped it in. And it was a solid cross, but then Enzo tries to do some weird flick instead of just getting any body part on it and trying to get it on target. Then the ball goes right back in. I think it was Colwill who whipped it back in. And then it goes right like under his foot. It's at least get something on it. You've seen so many times where there's a ball played into it. It's like you said, when you need a chance, when you need a shot out target, it's called the danger area for a reason. You know, you want to get the ball into dangerous areas because even if you don't get a head on it, even if you don't get a foot on it, maybe you thighed it, maybe you shoulder it in, maybe you chest it in, maybe the other team isn't paying attention and it goes off their back. Maybe the keeper misses the ball and then it goes in from the cross. You never know. But we just can't do any of those things. That's like what that Garnacho cross is, what is exactly what we've wanted to see from our wingers like Mudryk since he signed. And I mean, to be fair, it was a pretty solid assist to Palmer, but that wasn't really a cross. We haven't really seen that. And I guess you could say that we don't really have anyone who's good in the air compared to like McTominay for Man U, which is true.
Yeah.
But
and it's something we've seen, by the way, in the recent past for Chelsea, right? You know, guys like Olivier Giroud, Tammy Abraham, although Tammy Abraham is the best example of that, but he was a solid frame, tall guy. Olivier Giroud and Romelu Lukaku being those best two players in recent past that have been able to do that.
Right, exactly. And Jackson, sure, he might be good somewhat in the air, but he's not that dominating presence that someone like McTominay is, where he can body someone over, where he's very tall, he can outjump someone, and he can get that. And we don't really have that. And so even if we get these crosses in, we don't have someone that can actually finish them anyway. So they kind of just go into the dangerous area, and you're like, well, we should be scoring this. And then we just do that so many times, and eventually you're just like, okay, I don't understand why we keep doing this, because clearly it's just not working. But if I completely agree that we need it to do it, but I don't think it's really feasible with the squad we have now, which is crazy to say because of how much money we've spent, and we still don't have someone who can simply just win a header in the box and get it on target.
And that's really what it all comes down to. And then it's like how much money do you need to spend, right? Because we talk about guys like Olivier Giroud, who for Chelsea, when at least he was on the team, wasn't that much money that we spent. And yet he was just a quality player in kind of his older years of, playing the sport of football. So it's like, it really all depends, right? Like, how much can money get you? And that's just something in general, not even in the Chelsea Football Club or sports in all, but, you know, that's just kind of like a way of life that I'm sure everyone listening has heard it before. It's like, how much does money really get you, right? Does money buy you happiness? That is the question. And for Chelsea so far, money that they spent in the last couple seasons, especially the millions or billions of dollars, pounds, whatever, you know, system you want to use, has not bought the team happiness, the player's happiness, the manager's happiness, the owners, and especially us, the fans. All this money that Chelsea has spent and we are not happy. And the main indicator of that is literally right now, this entire episode where Peter has repeatedly stated, this was not a fun watch. So that's where we are, and that's where we sit at this current moment with, you know, now looking towards the January window, how much more do we spend? Who else do we look at, right? It's December 6th right now. But in this case, thus far, we spent all this money, no happiness. I'll get to the rest of the match stats. 56% possession for Chelsea compared to 44% for Man U. Like I said, they control possession, but not a lot of shots on goal at all with three. Fouls were both evened out at 12 apiece, but Man U did have four yellow cards in this match. No red cards for Chelsea, so at least they didn't continue that streak into this match, getting a third in a row, thank God. 12-4, Man U controlled corners makes sense with how much offensive attack they had throughout this match. With this win, they move up a spot to 6, Man U does, while Chelsea just sits in 10th right now. Brentford tied with them, or at least in points-wise, with 11. What's next for Chelsea? Where it's a, well, it's a match this weekend, a 9 a.m. match for us here in the U.S. against Everton. So that's going to be, I believe, a 1 o'clock match for everyone watching in the U.K. I hope we're going to be back for a recap of this game. You know, Everton right now is one of those teams facing relegation. So I would like to say this should be an easy match for Chelsea to win, but we have no idea with how this season has gone. But stay tuned, stay with us. Thank you for listening to this episode thus far. And hopefully we'll be back Monday for a recap of the Everton match. Peter, any final words?
Hopefully, I mean, okay, let's be real. Can't be worse than this game, no matter what happens. Even if we lose to Everton, I don't think it can be more unwatchable than this game was. So that's something to look forward to. It can't go down. Actually, that's just very not true. With this team, it definitely can get worse, but I'm hoping it won't get worse. And like you say, for relegation candidate, I pray that we can actually get back on winning ways and maybe just pretend this game didn't really happen at all.
Well, you're talking about things to look forward to. Let's hope to look forward to a return from our friend and co-host Alex here on this podcast. He's missed two episodes now. We hope he's back and not missing a third one in the row. We said it at the end of the last episode, and Alex texted us about it, so we're going to say it again. Thank you for editing, Alex, fixing all those audio mistakes or whatever there may be. And we wish you the speediest recovery back to the
full health. We love you, Alex.
Hope you feel better, Alex, and yeah, we'll see you next time, hopefully, for our next episode. For everyone still listening, hit that subscribe button. Again, thank you so much for listening. Drop 5 stars. Hit that follow button on our Twitter, @TalkingBluesPod. And yeah, like I said, we'll see you next time. Go Blues!